plate a potential nugget.
And one of the related points you make, Bruce, is the ability to share our life story in high definition. And you also say that a lot of us face a writer's block in the way we narrate our stories. Any guidance to people who are trying to make sense of their journey? And one of the related points, if I may bring that up as well, you talk about focusing on scars rather than wounds in terms of making sense of what we're going through. So can you talk a little bit about how we can sort of process what we go through?
So I think that the foundational way to think about this is that everybody listening to us could just stop for a second and listen, kind of summon up that story that goes on in the back of your mind, kind of on low level. The story of where you came from and who you are and what's important to you and what you've done in your life and where you are right now and where you want to be going. Like if you got a call right now that a loved one was in the hospital and you went rushing to the hospital to take care of that person, you would imagine the time that you spent with that person. What do they mean to you and what you would say to them? That story that is kind of running in low volume in our minds all the time, that is the story of who we are, okay? And that we now know is not just part of who we are, it is who we are in a fundamental way, right? Life is the story that you tell yourself. And what we're talking about fundamentally with life quakes or life transitions or crises or upheavals or, you know, whatever names have been given to this over the centuries, it is fundamentally a breach in that story. And so one way to think about this is that a kind of a life quake is a disruptive event and that the life story is the healing event. Like that's the way that you make sense and make peace with the disruptive event. It is, in effect, an autobiographical occasion. And so the point about, stories are told from scars, not wounds, is when it's, when that life upheaval is at its rawest, in effect, when it's still an open wound, you can't fully tell the story yet because you haven't gotten through it. That somehow the act of getting through it and piecing it together and determining what it means and sort of deciding a new direction of where you're going, that's the process that turns the wound into a scar that finally allows you to tell the story. It's why in the 7 tools that I have in the book, Life is in the Transitions, the last one is to unveil the new story because it's at the end of the process that you can finally piece together the various experiences and actually, in effect, add a new chapter to the story of your life that accommodates the loss of the loved one, the loss of income, the loss of job, the loss of legs, the lack of beliefs that you used to have, the new political position that you've taken, the new relationships that you have formed. That's the way to think about this, is that a life quake is an autobiographical occasion when we have to kind of retell, and then reshare the story of who we are.
Bruce makes an interesting point about not going through the existential questions when you're deep in the event. He asks us to go through it and then says try and make sense as we come out of it. My last guest at the podcast was Ramesh Srinivasan, a senior partner in McKinsey and the global dean of the Bauer Forum, McKinsey's program for CEO learning. He and his wife Charuta unfortunately lost 2 of their children to cancer. He speaks about how they found a sense of meaning and purpose coming out of the event.
I don't talk about it that often, but I've decided to do it to be helpful to all your listeners, Deepak. Unfortunately, my wife, Charuta, and I, we've lost 2 kids to cancer in the last 10 years. Shruti was 9 years old when she passed away in 2009. And Aditya was almost 12 when he passed away in 2015. And both Shruti and Aditya were amazing kids. They were smart, extremely positive, very wise for their age, and that really has pushed both Charuta and me to think about who we are, why we exist, what is our own purpose. And I think the more I think about it, I've come to a realization that my own purpose is to bring a source of positive energy, possibilities to the world. The smile I bring is the asset, and I represent this positivity for everybody going through a tough time in this world of so much demoralization. I represent optimism and hope.
When I asked him about how he dealt with the day-to-day trauma when he was going through it, he spoke about it taking it one day at a time.
And some of the doctors we worked with at Memorial Sloan Kettering, they were incredible advisors to us to say, take life one day at a time. You know what you need to do today, that's great. If you need to plan for a week, that's useful. Whenever we would ask them about the prognosis of our kids, they would say, if we give you too optimistic a view, you're going to then, if something bad happens, come back and blame us and lose credibility. If we give you too pessimistic a view, you will not live your life. And like, what's the point? So really being, taking life one day at a time is what we found helpful. And that's my advice.
If this topic is of interest, you might also like my conversation with Tasha Urich, an expert on the notion of self-awareness, where she speaks about how we should ask the what question when we go through these experiences and not ask the why question. The why often emerges over a period of time.